Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and this is a show about instantaneous change for the better. How to make your life different in ways that you want, and how to do it literally instantaneously. And there are a lot of examples of that in our lives. I'm sure many things have happened instantaneously, and you go, wow, how did that happen? And what's behind it all? Sometimes things seem to take forever, and sometimes they do. And what's behind that? Why are we so stuck, and how can we get out of it? And to help us on this show is a man who I've known for a while, who actually has his own radio show, not on this station, but he is a guy who helps people. He's a healer, and he believes that he has an answer for us. And I asked him to be on the show to offer us this great answer for instantaneous change, to lift us out of the depths of whatever darkness we're in, or how little or how much of it might be there. For some of us, it's a lot, and for some, it's just great times. So I want to introduce Paul Mars. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. So this is something that intrigued me, and you have a history. Everybody's a healer for a reason. I was talking to a psychology student, an advanced student, the other day, and she said all her professors, they're all totally wacko. And that's because we all choose our professions because we need them. And so you've chosen to help people out of your own need to help yourself, right?
Well, yes, that's part of it. Yes, I've been working on myself since, I guess, my late teens. It all started when I wanted to have more friends. And I said, well, what does that mean? I'm an analytical type. I always believed I could figure almost anything out. So I started trying to figure out what makes people like you. And that led me to, well, give away my age, but at least 45 more years of studying human behavior. And I've been self-taught in that, and know most of the protocols, traditional ones. And I developed, a couple of my own recently, healing protocols, one for emotional healing and one for depression. So that's where it led me, and I always liked helping people. So it was always a calling for me. But, yeah, I've helped myself along the way, absolutely.
You know, it's also interesting that you're an out-of-the-box guy, because so many people who are in the box can't help themselves or others because everything has to be formalized. And I asked you what your credentials are, and, your credentials are your life. And there are a lot of people who will kick out all kinds of PhDs, et cetera, and then you ask them, what they're doing in their lives, and they're just living in the box. And you, that's not where innovation comes from.
Right. Well, Einstein said, you can't solve a problem with the same thinking that caused it, And also, people that make the greatest contributions to whatever area they're in are the ones that usually start out because they have nothing to lose. And those that are vested in it don't want to make a fool of themselves, quote-unquote, so they're afraid to take a chance. And let's face it, if you don't leap into the void, you cannot really find anything that great if you're too careful.
I remember 30 years ago going to these symposiums, conferences that Gary Null had, and I was one of the guests there, invited to lead a particular part of it, and I met these other doctors. Although I'm not a doctor, but I met these doctors in the medical field who had answers, and every one of them was frightened because they were out of the box, and they were fairly certain that they were going to be kicked out of their profession because they were working with non-traditional techniques. Now it's much more common. This goes back 30 years ago, and these guys, a lot of them did lose their licenses. And
wow.
and it's hard to be an innovator in fields that are boxed in. So so you're somebody who tinkers and tries new things, and you've come up with some solutions that I think can really help our audience change their lives instantaneously.
Thank you. Well, I'd like to talk about depression because I developed an emotional healing technique. And I don't want to go into that today. I'd love to another time. That's another story, an interesting story, I believe. But beyond that, my father had depression as bad as you can have it. In other words, when you have a depressive episode, it usually stops at a certain point, you know, and then you get over it, and then you might have another one. So the depressive episodes vary in frequency, how often you get them, duration, how long they last, and severity.
By the way, some years ago, I picked up a couple of books on depression that were written in the 1930s, and they were all about how actually depression can be good for you. So see it as a blessing because it puts you into a position that you're not happy with, that you want to get out of. And so it drives you to another state that you can then succeed in. But if it wasn't for the depression, and same thing with all adversity in life, it is, if it wasn't for the adversity, we wouldn't strive so hard.
Okay. Well, I have to not agree with that, you know, because I've had depression, and it's not like anything else.
But look at you now. See, that's the point.
Well,
is that it drove you to answers, to find solutions,
okay.
And now you're helping so many people. That's the point of that.
That's a good point, but okay, I understand, and I take that point, and it's true for most other situations, it's absolutely true. You strive to overcome your obstacles in life. I know I did. And to be a better person and, you know, to be more successful, which I did. And that, yes, definitely helped me. The problem is depression is like that. And that those people who wrote that, I guarantee you, never had depression. Because if they did, they would not write that. And the problem is, because of this unique thing called depression, and it is very unique, it keeps you from doing things. It turns you off. Every motivation, all your energy, everything is turned off. That's why many depressives sleep all day long. You just can't do what you want to do.
But that's the point, is that you get to a state that you just can't stand it anymore. And even though you might be in it for years, it drives you. And eventually, as you said, eventually you'll shift gears. It could take 10, 20 years. Some gears will shift. And maybe it's just also because you're looking for certain solutions, and maybe people come across you and you say, okay, I can help you get out of this. But it's also once they're out of it and the sun is shining for them, they're on fire.
It definitely, now you're talking about manic depressives, and they go up and down, but that's a whole other
No, I don't mean that. I'm just talking about in life. We all bemoan our adversities,
and
then when we're not in adversity, we can treasure our happiness so much greater.
That's true. That's true. And I found that mostly feeling low self-esteem kind of thing and working to overcome that. And that certainly is a motivator for many people. You know, the very, very rich throughout the ages have, you know, trying to accumulate things, you know, physical things, monetary, you know, wealth and all that, material wealth in order to overcome their negative feelings about themselves. And sometimes they did helpful things like, you know, somebody like Henry Ford, you know, who made an automobile available and affordable to all, you know, most people. And that, you know, I'm sure there was something driving him. I'd like to, though, get to depression, if I may, because I think it's an important thing, and I think it's a lot of people are suffering, and they can't really get the help they need. Because today, it's dealt with in two basic ways. One, you know, but in both cases, they're dealing with the symptoms, and they're not really curing it. In one case, most medical doctors will give medication, which helps some people. But even people who are medicated, and I talk to them often, still have depressive episodes. And so, you know, it helps somewhat, and sometimes there are bad side effects. There have been, unfortunately, news about teenagers taking these medications and committing suicide, and that's a horrible thing. So that's a little dangerous, and it doesn't always solve the problem. In the psychological community, or if it's a holistic medical doctor, they'll talk about lifestyle change. And lifestyle change certainly helps. That means you don't feel bad as often, so you don't get as many depressive episodes.
And I heard some doctors talking about exercise as being one of those lifestyle changes that can really help.
Absolutely. And those things are good. It's always better to feel better, and lifestyle changes for the positive, eating better, exercising, having better thoughts, doing yoga, meditation, all those things are terrific. And it helps everybody, including depressives. The problem with that is, so that's a good thing, but it doesn't, again, cure the problem. And two reasons are, if you feel bad enough, it's going to overcome that, and you're going to have an episode anyway, okay, to trigger it. The other thing is, a lot of people, now I've been exercising regularly for 35 years. I know you're a runner as well, and that's great, but my wife, her philosophy of exercise is Ogden Nash said, whenever he had the urge to exercise, he'd lie down until it passed, you know. So that was, you know, that's her philosophy. A lot of people can't do it. So sometimes people can't maintain that lifestyle, and so, you know, it could help them somewhat.
Right, a lot of people who are depressed can't do the good things that you want them to do to get out of it because they're depressed.
Yeah, but a lot of people can't maintain those great lifestyle, you know, exercise and eating perfectly and doing, you know, meditating and all that stuff. People just don't like it sometimes, or it's not their thing. So it helps some people, again, and other people it doesn't. But again, even with these two things, medication and lifestyle change, it doesn't get it the cure. What I found was what I believe is the cure, actual cure for depression. Now, why is what I do cure it? Because I found what causes it. And what causes it is a emotional trauma. Now, curing the emotional trauma, as it turns out, does not cure the depression. The basis of depression is a death wish, all right? We all know about that because my mother, when she died in her late 80s, had terminal cancer. And, you know, she could have been around for, who knows, the doctor said maybe 2 years with chemo or 6 months without it. But she was ready to go. She told me, you know? She said, Paulie, I'm ready to hit the happy hunting ground. I mean, she had a great attitude, and within 2 weeks she was dead. She just said enough, and a friend of mine told me, her mother told her the same thing. This woman was in 93 years old. I met the woman. She looked 73, perfectly healthy, but she got, you know, Alzheimer's or something, and her whole quality of life went down the tubes, and I guess she didn't like it, and she said, all right, I had enough, and she told me, her mother said, I'm ready to die, and sure enough, boom, within a short period of time, she was dead.
So, let me interrupt for a second, Paul, because what you're talking about is, and you said an emotional trauma can create depression, but the emotional trauma can come from some other terrible limitation in our lives.
Well, yeah, but I'm not, okay, the emotional trauma creates the death wish for an infant. That's where I'm going with this. Okay?
Okay.
So we know that people could have a death wish and could die soon.
I know a number of people who were, as very small children, were victims of a parent dying at that age, when they were that age. And many of them have a death wish because they just wanted to go where the parent went.
Okay.
And
interesting. Okay.
And even as adults, they think, why do I want to die? Why do I want to kill myself? I have so many times that I'm doing something, and right all of a sudden I feel like I have to kill myself. And what it is that they've never grown out of that child in them who has a death wish to follow the parent. Because as little children, our parents are all we know, and whatever is right in the world is in our parents.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what, even if it's abuse, children adapt to it because they love their parents and they don't know any different.
Well, and that could be a that could be one of the motivations of having a death wish. We all know about crib deaths that we cannot explain, and a very smart person told me years ago that a lot of those crib deaths are from children who just had enough with life. Either they weren't cuddled enough, they were afraid, whatever happened to make them want to die, and they just did. But getting to depression, the people that survived the death wish are the ones who suffer from depression. Because you either have depression or you don't. It's not something you get like a cold, or anything like that. It's more like an asthmatic. If you're an asthmatic, you may have an asthmatic attack. If you're not asthmatic, you don't have asthmatic attack.
Well, when I think of depression, I think of The Walking Dead.
Well, depressives are people who have depressive episodes, to be very specific.
But in those episodes, you're lifeless.
Yes, exactly. But people who don't suffer from depression, don't have death wishes, do not have depressive episodes. That's the difference. You don't just get it later on in life. You either had it from the very beginning, and therefore you may get depressive episodes, okay? Or you didn't, and you don't get depressive episodes.
But what if you've just had some real misfortune in your life, and all of a sudden things aren't working at all? You've lost everything
Fine.
That you've known,
Fine.
And you just go into deep depression.
Well, people have bad feelings, certainly.
I'm talking about deep depression. There are people who have had terrible tragedies in their lives.
Well, that may be true. Well, I would maintain those people are the ones who have had depression all along. They just never had an episode because they didn't feel bad enough. Look, there are a lot of people that have terribly tragic experiences and don't get depressed. I mean, we all know that's true. I say the difference is you're either like an asthmatic, you can have an asthmatic attack. If you're not asthmatic, you don't get asthmatic attacks. If you're a depressive, you may have a depressive episode. And those are triggered off by events in our life that make us feel bad. Okay?
All right, so the gene is there. There's something in
right.
somebody.
Germ,
that,
yes.
Right.
In a way, the germ is there. You either have that germ. You know, unfortunately, like, an HIV person may get AIDS. But a person who doesn't have HIV doesn't get AIDS because they don't have the germ.
All right. I think it's very valid to believe that if you get depressed, there was something there that allowed you to be vulnerable
exactly.
to depression.
That, in other words, another analogy, a simple analogy would be a thermostat. Okay? If you go away for the summer to Europe, you may not turn your thermostat on because you don't care how hot it gets in your apartment or your house, and the temperature goes beyond, let's say, 70 degrees where you'd set your thermostat normally, but the AC never goes on because the switch is not turned on, okay? But if the switch is turned on, when the heat gets high enough, boom, the AC goes on. Same with depressive. With a person that does not have a depression, that does not suffer from depression, no matter how bad they feel, they don't. The switch doesn't turn on because the switch is off.
Okay.
They don't have that. But for depressive, if the heat is high enough, you get to that tipping point.
Now
the critical mass, you may
painting,
have an episode.
We're painting a picture here of a very chronic, deep issue that you believe you can solve and cure this.
Yes.
That's a huge statement you're making because this is something that people are born with. You know, born with this vulnerability or got it very so early in childhood
right.
that they're living out these
okay.
lives that you can fix instantaneously.
Okay. And the critical thing is they're not really born with it, but they do make the decision very early in life. And that's the key. Because they made a decision to have a death wish, They can make a decision to shut it off, and that's the key. Just like a computer. If you tell a computer to do something, it will continue to do it until you tell it to stop or do something else. And the subconscious mind is the same way. It's like a computer. It doesn't make value judgments.
But that's easy. This is easy to say, Paul. It's very easy to say, well, we made the decision to kill ourselves. Now we're making the decision not to. Okay.
Right.
Decision made.
Right.
And
that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay.
That's the way it works.
Right. I've had experiences in my life of making decisions that have been totally magical.
Okay.
And,
well, there you go.
And not even realizing how magical they were going to be.
Exactly.
And in spontaneous change.
Yeah.
So it does work, but
this is a very
what if somebody says, okay, you know, I hear about that, I'm going to say, okay, change, and nothing happens.
Well, if it will happen if you actually want it to happen. It's like somebody that wants to stop smoking, and I know a hypnotherapist who says, you know, people say it's hard to stop smoking. He says it's not hard if you really want to. If you make that decision, just like you said, boom. And my wife stopped smoking that way. She said once she made that decision, she stopped. My brother told me the same thing. Once he made that decision, like you're saying, boom, magically.
But not everybody has that sense of strength about them. So many people are addicted to so many things that they try so hard. They go to rehab and they do all kinds of things for it, and then they fall back into
Okay. Let me answer that. That's a good question. My wife's kid brother was a hardcore drug addict, okay? He was a heroin. He took it mainlined. And unfortunately, it killed him eventually, but because he got HIV from it. But the truth of the matter is, he was doing it until his mother died, and then he came to live with me, and I said, you could stay here as long as you're clean, and he went back to the stuff. And once he was out and hit bottom, magically, he changed. And he was fine, and he stopped using drugs. He even saved many people himself. He made that decision. You know, and the hypnotherapist that works with smoking says, they say it's addictive, but he says it's a decision. Once you make that decision, it's just like you said, that's happened many times in your life, it changes. And anybody can make that decision, but they have to make it. They have to absolutely 100% without reservation make it. If you do that, the change occurs.
But how do you know you're making it 100%? What if you think
do.
You are, but you're only making it 90%?
Because you do. Just like you knew in your life, and everyone knows in their life, when they make that decision or when
right.
they don't quite make that decision.
Right. When I made two major decisions in my life that within minutes changed everything.
Yeah.
Those were very clear about it.
Exactly. You knew you made it.
Right. I didn't know what was going to happen because
right,
I made
you
it.
You knew you made it. We know when we're 100%. You just know it. And we know when we're wishy-washy about it. Because the brain is, again, like a computer. You say, stop, don't do that. You hit that button. I have people throw a switch in their mind, literally create that switch. And they tell me what it looks like, and I have them throw it. Boom. I say, it's irreversible.
Yeah.
You do it or you don't. And I say, without reservation, whatever happens, regardless of the consequence, they say, okay, and that's it. Because when you throw that switch, you say, without reservation, no matter what, right? It's
right.
got to be all the way.
Right. right? You're clear.
We're clear,
100%
yes.
clear.
They're clear, and
so
they know they're doing it.
Yeah.
And the people that aren't clear don't have the same results.
Right. Now,
the ones that are, they have those results.
Talk about the results you're getting with others.
Yes. Well, lady I just met yesterday, about 10 months ago, she was having episodes each day. It's been 10 months, no episodes. So that's, 300 opportunities. Another gentleman was getting them 2-3 times a week. I talked to him. He felt the same way because we get the bad feelings, which triggers off the episode. He said, I had those bad feelings, but no episodes. Exactly, because the switch was off. It couldn't switch on. A friend of mine was hospitalized on the medication, and he was sleeping all day. He usually gets up 5:30 in the morning. Boom. He's up 5:30 in the morning. I even asked, you know, I go over there a lot. I ask his wife, is he really getting up 5:30? Yeah, he's up. You know, and what was his motivation? He says his wife was driving him crazy. He was sleeping all day. He had to get out of his depression because she was driving him nuts. And he did. And he changed. And myself, the same thing. You know, I have bad feelings. I have bad days. I cured myself originally about 10 months ago. But it comes and goes like everybody else. We all have bad times. But if you can just come in and out of it easily, no big deal, then you don't have it. And I don't have it anymore. So there is a cure for this.
Now, do you need somebody else to help you make that choice, or are there statements that you can make for it, or is it just different for everybody?
Well, I guess it's possible some people can do it on their own. Some people could read a book and do things like that, and some people need someone to take them through it, like anything else. You know, I learned computer programming from a book. Some people need to be trained in a classroom. Sure, you know, you could read the way it works and try it, and maybe you could do it. But if you want my help, could I give a plug for my website?
Sure.
ConqueringDepressionForLife.com. ConqueringDepressionForLife.com or Paul@ConqueringDepressionForLife.com. And I'll be happy to help you. It's one session, and that's it.
So, you know, it's about intention. I see that later today you're doing a radio show on intention.
Yeah. Isn't it coincidental, right?
Yeah.
There's no coincidences in life.
Right. Right.
Yes, so, exactly. I'm doing a show on with Penny Cohen on intention. Intention is everything in life.
Well, that's what this is about. And yeah. and so you know, we did a show recently called on a book called The Greatest Secret of All.
Yeah.
And that's not only about intention, but it's about walking your talk. It's actually about getting behind your intention.
Yeah.
and needing to make plans and, you know, do a lot of the detail work. But this doesn't take that, right?
Right. That's the beauty of it. Once you do it, it's gone. And you don't have to. What happens maybe sometimes, you know, people like feel that feeling, you know, like somebody feels that feeling before they get a bad headache or something. People that suffer migraines, they know that feeling that precedes it. So in the beginning, maybe the first week or two, you know, because it happened to me, you know, you say, I think I'm going to get an episode. I just tell them to reinforce the statement, I choose life, you know, and I choose not to be depressed. And it just makes and calms people down a little. And it just goes and comes, it just passes. And after a while, you forget about it because you don't need it anymore. It just doesn't happen.
So you just had a couple of phrases there. I choose life, I choose not to be depressed. Mm-hmm. So those are little formulas that you have.
Yeah, yeah. Well, those are reinforcing ways. And, you know, when you make the main decision, that's the thing that turns it off. I mean, you know, when we have the intention and we really decide to do something, oftentimes the action comes with it because we're really into it. We're, you know, it's a lot easier because all our energy is there for it. You know, our passion is there. And
right.
When we have passion behind something.
But sometimes we need to be conditioned by somebody else's passion, and then we can climb into it, and it helps move us forward. So it is. Some of us need that, and some of us don't. So we only have about 30 seconds left. So
you want to ask me a question?
No, I've asked you a lot of questions,
okay.
And I love the answers that you've given me, and thank you so much for being such a giver in life.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to share this because a lot of people need help.
Yeah, and thank you so much for being on Energy Stew. Paul Morris.
Thank you.
ConqueringDepressionForLife.com. Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. And thank you so much for listening.